Fall is the time of harvest. I believe it's true not only in the natural, but it's also true in the spiritual. I don't know why that always is, but it seems like in the fall there's a time of harvest. So it's a great time of opportunity of people coming to Christ. And so to get ready for harvest, we need a season of prayer, a time of seeking the Lord and getting, you know, just right back on point, and also just praying that God will just give us favor as we launch some things coming this fall, that God will be with us. By the way, it does take God. You know that, don't you? We can't do this in and of ourselves. All the lights, all the music, whatever that looks like, we can't do it without the Lord. And so we always seek Him first. It is the secret sauce that makes everything work. And so I encourage you to be a part of that. Let me pause right here. I want to say a little bit more about that as I get into the message today. But I want to pause right here and just say a heartfelt welcome to all those that join us online. We're so glad to have them watching from wherever they are. Come on, everybody. Can you welcome them today? Yes, so glad to have you with us. And let me give a shout out, because it's my understanding that we have our worship pastor and our Dream Team coordinator, Dwayne and Karen Stone, that are watching right now live from Croatia. So we're so glad to have you, Pastor Dwayne and Karen. And so, in fact, my wife and my youngest son is in Florida watching, so shout out to them as well. And just never know where people are watching from. And so we're really, really excited to be with you today. I was actually out of the state this week on a little bit of a vacation, but I had to fly back just to be with you today. I'm so glad to be here today. So, and can I just say, as I was mentioning, that Dwayne and Karen are out of the country right now, that we did there was a phenomenal team that was up here leading worship. I call them TNT. It was Tim and Tiana. Didn't they do a fantastic job? So thankful for them. And wow, it's just tremendous to see how God is using people around here. Yes, let me toggle back to the 21 days and just say I'm really, really excited about this. Again, you heard it explained on the Crosspoint News, but I want to make sure that you really have a handle on what this looks like if you've never been through this before. I encourage you to go online, crosspointworshipcenter.com, and there's some materials that you can download there. One of those things that you can download is this manual right here. It's a little book called A Pray First, and it gives you all kind of examples of prayer, tabernacle prayer, the Lord's Prayer, just different things and tools that you can use that will help you create a lifestyle of prayer. Because our hope is that it's not just 21 days, but this actually gets you launched into a different lifestyle of where prayer is a part of your life. Communicating with God is a part of your life. This manual is actually online. You can download this manual online from our website. So we encourage you to go on and take a look at that and check that out. There's other resources there for you. And then it is also from there that you will see a link that will connect you to live services. Again, I know you just heard this in the news, but I want to reiterate this. And that is that every day I encourage you to go. And some of you, you know, you're used to having the old-fashioned revivals where you'd meet at church all week long for a week of services, or sometimes it'd go 2 weeks. I've known some churches that would go for a month. Can I just tell you, you can have your own personal, and by virtue of that, we'll have our corporate, actually, revival. If you'll follow this play that I'm just the coach. I'm just doing a play call here, okay? And if you'll run this play seriously, and you'll go online and you'll connect with these live services. Now for us, it is going to be from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the morning if you want to watch it live. But if you don't want to, if that doesn't fit your schedule, if you're commuting, getting to work during that time, that doesn't work for you. Those services are archived for 24 hours. So in other words, you can go on later on in the day and you can pull it up. It's going to be kept there for you. And so and then you can connect with that. And what you'll find, it'll start with a little bit of a devotional. It'll be a service. And you'll see, now this is what's encouraging. You'll see thousands of people that are there. And at this place, it's actually in a different time zone. It's 6 a.m. for them. And so you'll be watching thousands of people that are there praying, that have got up, got dressed before work, and went to church, right? For 3 weeks they'll do this, and they'll be praying, but it's going to be led by a pastor, different pastors each day. They'll lead, they'll give you just some good food from the Word, and then they'll have a time of praying, everyone praying, and then coming back and praying at the end. It's going to be powerful. I encourage you to be sure and be a part of that. And then on Saturdays, the time would be from 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock. Our time, and you can watch that live, or that can be archived as well. And then, of course, we have each morning here 9 o'clock prayer. We do that every week, all year long. So, I encourage you to be a part of that. And there's a goal in mind with all of this, and that is that we will get closer to God, closer to God. And I'm going to give you a powerful scripture that's found in James chapter 4 and verse 8 this morning. And there in your worship guide, there's some blank notes. We don't have the fill-in today. We'll start that next next series. But today I want you to just take as many notes as you'd like there. But write that location of scripture down. It's James chapter 4 and verse 8. It's going to be a theme for the next couple of weeks here as we go through our 21 days of prayer. That is, James said, come near to God and He will come near to you. Now, I really like the sound of that, because when I come near to God, I'm bringing Him my stuff, right? And I know what I can bring to the table, okay? Sometimes it's problems and tragedies. There may be some trophies in there, but there's some things, but whatever I bring, it's just me. And I bring that when I come to God. But when I bring myself to God, then it says He will come near to me. I bring what I bring. But the most powerful thing is that He brings what He brings. And what He brings is so much better. Because I bring questions, He's got answers. I bring problems, He's got solutions, right? Come on, everybody. I bring a mess, but come on, He takes my mess and He turns it into a message, right? I come up out of a pit and He turns it into a pulpit. Right? Okay, enough of the puns, right? But it's so true. It's so true. He takes your test and turns it into a testimony. All right, I'll stop right there. But I'm just saying, God is, this scripture is so powerful in that we come to Him, but then He, in return, comes to us. I think that's a good deal. And we need to get close to God. And there's a reason why we need to get close to God. And I found, I think, a good verse to explain it. And it's found in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, that says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man who walks to direct his steps. So as a person, we know how to walk. We think. We know how to put one foot in front of the other. But according to Scripture, it's not even in our ways to know how to direct our steps. We can walk, but we don't know how, we don't know where, we don't know what steps to take next. And what the scripture here is saying is that we need the Lord to direct our steps. In fact, Psalm 37 and 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. I love that. So your life is not just an accident and just happenstance and just bump into this wall and that wall, and you get up each day and you just kind of go through the motions and circumstances dictate where you go and what you do and who you see. No, actually, if you look at the larger picture here, there is a God that loves you. There's a God that wants to be intimately involved in your life. He wants a personal relationship with you, and He wants to direct your steps. And I believe that nothing just happens in your life. Things don't just happen by happenstance, but there is a God who loves us and reaches out to direct our life. And if we'll allow Him to, He can direct our life in the ways of life. He can direct our life in the ways of peace if we'll continue to follow Him. In fact, here's what we know, though. You say, well, that sounds good, but you don't understand what a mess my life has been in the past. I have taken, and I don't know how to undo some of those things. Well, let me just encourage you. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 and 6, we all, that's all, everybody say all. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord, let me just pause right there. Each one of us have messed up. Each one of us has went our own way. Each one of us has went places and done things we shouldn't have done. There's no one perfect, no, not one, right? But here's the good news. Here's the encouraging thing. I just want to let you know, first of all, you got plenty of company if you're messed up. if you've gone down the wrong path, that things aren't looking right for you, you got plenty of company there. We're all in this thing together. But here's the good news. The good news about that is the last part of that scripture that says, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. So while we may have sinned, we may have messed up, made all kind of mistakes, the Bible says, but the Lord, he took all that upon himself, and he's ready to redirect our steps. Amen? That's good news. That's encouraging. We know, though, that there's things in life that tend to pull us away and pull us off course and pull us away from God. There's a world's current, if you will, that's contrary to God's purpose for your life. There's a current to the world, and if you're not careful, it can be very subtle. It can be an undertow. They call that in the ocean, when you go to the beach, it's a riptide or these rip currents that can pull you under, and it looks great on the surface, but there's something else going on underneath, and it can pull you out to sea. Well, the world's current, the world has a current, and that current is contrary to God's purpose for your life. And when I think about that, I realize there's several things, this is not an exhaustive list, but I just threw a few things down that came to my mind. It's the things that can pull us away. Instead of getting closer to God, we're drawn the opposite direction. One of those can be distractions. Distractions. Anybody know what distractions can be? Can take a lot of different forms. I might have confessed this before in the past, but when I think I'm getting worse as I get older, not better. But when I drive and I see things, and I on the side of the road, I tend to look at that, and then I look at that, and I tend to kind of swerve in the direction I'm looking. Has anybody ever got, okay, yeah, well, I tend to have that problem sometimes. And it could be something good, or it could even be something bad, you know, that we're distracted by. It may be an accident that we're looking at, but it may be a field of sunflowers. I don't know, you know, but we're distracted. And you could be distracted, listen, by good things and bad things, and yet those things can actually lead us in the wrong direction, and we tend to run off on those things and be distracted, and it takes our attention off the road. It takes our attention off of God's plan for our life. I love what Paul said. Paul said, I've learned that in whatever state I am to be content. So he's not going to be distracted by things on the side of the road. He's content of where he is, where God has him, and be content there, and he's able then to stay on course of what God's will for his life is. But distractions, and you can fill in whatever comes to your mind of what those distractions may be. In your life, you may know right off what some of those distractions may be. Then there's another thing that pulls us away, and that's this thing called fear. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can operate and make decisions and make twists and turns to our course in life based on this thing called fear. And fear is not a good way to have your life operate by. It's we tend to sometimes run in the opposite direction when we're afraid than where we should. You ever seen one of those scary movies and, you know, and you're trying to tell the person to run and get away, and they run right in the direction where they're not supposed to, you know? And you're just like, no. Sometimes we do that. We run exactly opposite of where we should. Instead of running to God, we run away from God. And we run and we dig the hole deeper, and we get further away, and we complicate the problem. But the Bible tells us that it's the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. So we're not to live by fear. That's not guiding our life, but we live by faith. Sometimes our fear is a fear of failure. Sometimes our fear can even be a fear of success. I'm afraid of succeeding. I'm afraid of the responsibilities that may bring, or I'm afraid of failure, and so I got to make sure I'm. And so we're motivated by fear instead of faith. And the Bible teaches us that the way to live our life is to live a life by faith. Another thing that can distract us is disappointments. Just disappointments. You know, I thought life would look like this, and it looks like this. I thought my marriage would look like this, but it looks like this. I thought my job would be everything, all this, and it's not. And we get into things, and life disappoints us, and we're disillusioned. And sometimes when that happens, we tend to then, because we want things to happen and we're disappointed it didn't turn out our way, instead of resting and relying upon God that He's going to direct our steps, sometimes, if we're not careful, we actually begin to force our way. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to manipulate and have things happen my way. And so we force our way, and it ends up, again, we end up going the wrong way. I think in the Bible about one that was very disappointed by the name of Peter. Peter was one that was all in. I mean, this guy, he was all in for the Lord. He said, I'm going to do everything for you, Lord. They come to arrest you. I'm going to cut the guy's ear off. I'm going to go overboard the ship after you. I'm just all in, Lord. And yet Peter, when push come to shove, he actually denied the Lord. Peter was actually disappointed in himself. He was disappointed how things turned out. He was expecting Jesus to set up this political reign and just overtake the Romans and, you know, just do it right now, Lord. He had a lot of energy, had a lot of enthusiasm, but the Lord had to take him through some process of trusting in Him. God had a greater plan, a master plan in place. I remember there was one conversation. It was even after the resurrection that Jesus had to speak to Peter. And Peter was actually thinking of just going fishing. And when He says Peter going fishing, it wasn't that Peter just wanted to go fish for a day. Peter was ready to just go back in and change his career and leave the ministry and go back and take up being a career fisherman again. And Jesus had to come along and encourage him and tell him, you know, he'd ask him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter kept saying, you've asked me three times. Why do you keep asking me? You know I love you. And each time Jesus said, feed my sheep, take care of the sheep. And aren't you encouraged to know that Peter didn't get so discouraged and so disappointed that he just went ahead and hung up the ministry and began to fish as a career, but instead he did stay with it. In fact, it was Peter on the day of Pentecost, the day that the church was birthed, that went out into the street where there was a lot of confusion, and 3,000 people came to Christ as he preached the first sermon ever for the church, right? Think about it. And so what would it have looked like if Peter had given up? What would have happened on that day if Peter had thrown in the towel and said, no, I give up, I'm disappointed? So I think disappointment sometimes, if we're not careful, can be a distraction as well of getting off course of where God wants us to go. Another thing that I jotted down was the word culture. And I think, again, I mentioned this a moment ago about the culture, how it is contrary many times to God's will, but culture will have us chasing the wrong things. It'll have us chasing worldly pleasures instead of God. Now, God doesn't mind you having pleasures. God doesn't mind you enjoying life, but God wants to make sure that it doesn't supersede Him. That you love Him more. That your life is in order. He doesn't mind blessing you with things, but when those things get out of order, then we've got problems, right? And so. But instead, sometimes we replace God with other things, and our priorities are out of sync. I was chatting with someone. I ran into somebody down in Florida this past week and got into a conversation. I do have this sign on me where strangers will come up to me, and it says, tell me your life story. I don't know. It just seems like that. I was for 45 minutes, almost to an hour, to this lady, and she was my wife was wanting to walk, and I was wanting to talk, and that's kind of the way we roll. But anyway, and so I was talking with her, and I could see she had a lot of issues in her life. And so I said, so where do you go to church? You know, I just go for it. You know, where do you go to church? Well, yeah, she said, oh, and she was talking about it being hot. And she said, it's too hot for church. And I said, oh, come on now. I said, It's too hot for church, and it's too hot for Jesus to go die on the cross. I know it's just too hot for church, you know. And so I had the opportunity just to try to encourage her, you know, to reprioritize your life. And really, that's what salvation is really all about. It's reordering your life to reflect that Jesus Christ is number one. And when Jesus Christ is number one, other things will take their rightful place. Can I get a good amen right there? Amen? It's so true. It's so true. And so, our culture I believe church should be a different culture. It should be an environment where hope is found, where answers are found, where peace can be found. I want to give you a scripture that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I just think it really speaks to all this. If I can just park right here for just a moment under this culture thing. And this is where Israel is about to go in and possess the land, the promised land that God had set for them to have. But it came with some instructions. In other words, God has a life for you that He wants you to enjoy. He has a plan for your life, and it's beautiful. It's amazing. And He wants you to experience that life. But in order to inherit that promise, in order to receive that, there are some conditions that follow that. And that is, again, putting Him first, following Him, and not following the culture of this world, but following what God says, what His Word says. That has to be our guide. But look at the scripture. Let's begin in verse 15. And here's the instruction. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity. See, and that's what God really wants for us. But then there's a choice, but there's also death and destruction. That would be our choice, not God's choice. Verse 16, he says, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, to keep His commandments, decrees, and laws. And what he's saying there is, I need you to stay close to God. I want you to get close to God and stay close to God. Stay in relationship with Him. Know Him. Love Him. Walk with Him. Right? And then he says, then, if you'll do that, then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering. And that's God's hope. That's His plan for us. He wants to bless us, right? But, look at the next verse. But, if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, and by the way, this culture, you think, well, that's just back then they had idol gods. Guess what? They're all around us in today's world, right? Whatever gets in between us and God can become a god. And then it says, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. And it's not that God will destroy you. We do it to ourselves because we removed ourselves from the one who gives us life, right? It's a result. And you will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now here's what his hope is. His hope is, it's like, I want you to have this. Now choose life. Now I love this, that you and your children may live. So what he's saying there, it doesn't just affect you, but it also affects those around you as well. It affects your children. It affects those that you do life with. And that you may love the Lord your God, listen to His voice, and hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So culture. Don't be persuaded by culture to go a different direction, but make sure, come on, let me just look old-fashioned here. Make sure you use the road map God's given us. Follow God's principles. We're going to get more into that in another installment about how, as we're doing this thing of prayer, one of the things is we're going to focus on God's Word, and we're going to feast of His Word. But let me just mention one other that I got to mention that can be a distraction. It's called sin. Sin. Is that how Barney Fife says it? Sin. Nip it in the bud. Sin. I put in parentheses beside that self, because that's really where the problem lies. And let me just break it down for you. In James chapter 1, verse 13, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. And we like to blame God for stuff. In fact, a lot of people blame the devil too. You know, it's the devil made me do it, or God's fault. But it says, when tempted, no one should say, God has tempted me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away, or drawn away, you could say, by their own evil desire and enticed. We're talking about drawing near to God, but see, we get drawn away by other things. then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And so I want us to see that sometimes if we're not careful, we can get derailed, and it separates us from God and His purpose and His plan for our life. But let me just encourage you, God has a good plan for your life. He wants to write a new chapter in your life, and you say, "Well, every chapter is a mess." Listen, let God put another chapter in your book. Okay, in fact, the Bible says that He's the one that wrote the book on your life, and He knows how your life works, and He's able to make it fit, no matter how messed up it is. He's able to make the last chapter fit, right? So we know that all sheep have gone astray, but God has a plan for getting us back on course. Let me encourage you, though, as we talk about going into 21 days of prayer. The reason, and you say, why 21 days? Daniel, things in his culture was going bad, and Daniel was seeking God, and he set himself aside to seek God for 21 days, and he did what we now call a Daniel fast, which was he just abstained from meats and bread, and he partook of fruits and vegetables. And juice, and so he said, no sweet thing came to his mouth for 21 days. But at the end of those 21 days of seeking God, an angel appeared before him, and the angel said, Daniel was wondering, why did it take you so long? You ever feel that way? Why did it take you so long? God, you're good, but why? Sometimes you're slow, God. Why do you wait till the last minute, God? You ever feel like that? So Daniel was like, you know, I've been praying all this time. And the angel said, hey, I heard you from day one that you set your heart to seek God. From the moment you made up your mind, you're going to seek God. I heard you. But the angel revealed that he was hindered. He was battling some things in the spiritual world that hindered him from getting there. There's a God, there's a little g God of this world that runs around, and there was some hindrance there of the angel getting to Daniel. And now that's a whole other topic in and of itself. But what I want to say is that even Daniel was hindered. And that brings me to this scripture in John chapter 10. And this is just a powerful truth. I didn't really want to do this because even list this one because I don't want to give the devil any credit. But the Bible tells us this. Jesus said again, verily I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Verse 8 says, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. And then he says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. So in other words, God's got a plan for your life. He's going to guide your steps from pasture. He's going to lead you. He's got a course for your life. But he says this in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So there is an enemy that has an agenda for your life as well. But here's the good news. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it to the full. So here's the question. So how do we get back, for instance, if we are off track and we're not where we need to be, or we know that we need to get closer to the Lord and things have crept in, maybe even unintentional, but we know we're not in our right relationship with the Lord or not where we want to be. And by the way, let me just tell you, you can get as close to the Lord as you want to be. It's really up to you, right? And the Lord wants us to draw close to Him. He wants close relationship with us. And how does that happen? Let me just sort of point this one out. In James chapter 4, in verses beginning in verse 1, let me just break down some truths to you. And let me help you see some of this. And so we're taking our text, our theme verse here, but we're going to put it into context. So beginning of verse 1, James points this out. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? So you think, if I can solve all this external, that was a conversation I had with a lady this week, was she's wanting everything solved out here. And I said, if you get the eternal first, it'll touch the internal, it'll change the internal, and the external will take care of itself. We try to do the opposite. We want to fix everything out here, and then that might make us feel better in here, and then we'll get it in our act together, and then we can come to God. That's not how it works. It's the complete opposite, right? He says, they come from within you. There's the problem. Then he says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. I can't get what I want, so I'm going to make it happen. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. And you do not have because you don't ask God. You didn't go to Him first. You ask and you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Verse 4, you adulterous people. Now, what he's simply saying there is, it's unfaithful people. You're not faithful to follow God, is what he's saying. And you're not doing it right. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity with God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, that doesn't mean we don't love the world. God loved the world. But what he's saying is you're not following the culture of the world. Are you following me? Okay. And then he goes on to say, or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit that has caused to dwell in us? So in other words, there's a discontentment within us, a Spirit within us, and God wants to have relationship with us, and it'll never be satisfied until we have that relationship with Him. So there's a discontentment, there's a jealousy, there's an envying within our spirit. God Himself wants that relationship and that place that He's made just for Him. Verse 6, but He gives us more grace. That is why the Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. So there's a way. How do we get back on track? Here it is. Look at this. It begins with humility, and then it goes on to say, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, two-part, and he'll flee from you. And here's how you resist him. Here's how you really resist him. Come near to God, and he'll come near to you. And then it goes on, takes it a step further. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Another, make up your mind, mean business with God. And this part, I almost didn't even want to share this part with you, because I want you to think that this isn't fun, but let me tell you, there's some work sometimes in the process, because we're trying to get rid of ourselves and things we're dealing with and issues and distractions, and it's a process, and sometimes it takes some work. Prayer is communication, but also sometimes it's a battle, right? There's things we're battling. It says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Get serious with God. Work through some things. All right, look at verse 10. But look what happens. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and here's the result of that, and He will lift you up. He will lift you up. So let me give you some steps here this morning. How can we practically implement this? Number one, write this down. And you've heard me say this throughout this message, and that's this. Put God first in my life. I want to put God first in my life. That's what this 21 days is about. It's making sure He's first in our life. And Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And these things, these other things that we're concerned about, will be given to you as well. I like to say they chase you down when you put God first. See, we're always chasing the things. God, I want this stuff. Will you give me this stuff? You follow Him, that stuff will just follow you, right? God's going to take care of all your needs, right? As you continue to follow Him, He puts it in order. Number two, I'll make it as simple as I can. Talk with God. So I didn't say have formal, oratorically correct, and I don't even know if that's a word, oratorically, formal, impressive words to God in prayer. No, and deep theological, no, just talk with God. That was, again, what I shared with this lady, had the opportunity to share with this lady this week. I was standing there, we were looking at the sunrise. And I said, it's just getting up in the morning and saying, that's a great job you did there, God. That's awesome. It's having continual conversation with Him all day. It's not that you just have to have a set time. That's good to have. But it's constantly just in communication, being aware that He's there, knowing He's there, right? 1 Thessalonians says, pray continually. One version says, pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean you can't talk to somebody else because that's going to interrupt your prayer. That's not what that means. But it means that you have a lifestyle of prayer. You're always aware of God's presence. He's not just in church on Sunday. He's not just in this building. By the way, you're the church. Y'all know that, don't you? It's not this building that's holy. You're holy. Because the Bible says now you're the temple of the Lord. So you say, well, we need to act right and be right and talk right when we're in the church. Well, guess what? You are the church. So what would it look like if you did those things in your own body? Come on. And you lived it out every day in your life, right? Amen. So what does that look like? So have a relationship with God. He's always there. I love it. I don't even have to pick up the phone. Sometimes this phone doesn't work. I was dealing with it again this week. Face recognition. It messed up. It wouldn't recognize my face. I guess I gained weight again. I don't know what happened, but it didn't recognize me, you know? So I had to go back and I had to reset that. I finally had to reboot the phone. Then I had to start all over and said, it's me. You know what I'm saying? Well, guess what? With God, you don't have to do that. I mean, this morning we were having trouble getting connected online. He's always online. Come on, everybody. He's always awake. He's never tired. He's never weary. I had one person said, well, I don't like to bother God with the little stuff. I'll just wait until I got something major. He wants to know about the little stuff. He cares about every detail of your life. Look at creation. He screams it out and demonstrates it all throughout creation. He's concerned about every detail of your life. And the Bible says he takes note of a sparrow if it falls. How much more does he not care for you? He cares about you. He cares about your pain. He cares about your past. He cares about the great future he wants to have you to have in him. He cares for you. So why not talk to him? You know? Why not be where he's with you? Let me give you a third one. And this goes right along with that. But pray first. Prayer should be your first response, not your last resort. I don't know what else to do. I guess we'll pray. We don't know what else to do. We've done everything else to do. We'll just trust in the Lord. I guess we're going to have to just trust God. There ain't nothing else to do. You know what? That shouldn't be the last thing we do. It should be the first thing we do. Knowing he's for us, man. Come to him first. I got a wristband on. I'm accumulating wristbands, y'all. I don't know what's wrong with me. I got several wristbands now, but they just remind me of things I need to be reminded of. One of them, and some of you got these, says, pray first. That's our rally cry around here at Cross Point. Pray first. Pray first. So before you answer the phone, pray first. Before you call that person, before you text that person, before you send that email, before you vent on Twitter or on Facebook, come on, before you hate on somebody, before you go there, before you get road rage, pray first, right? Pray first. Make it a priority. And Philippians chapter 4 says this, okay? It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer. So what, right? Pray about everything, right? In every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. That means it's filled with faith. Not, oh God, I know you're not going to do this for me, but I really wish you would. No, it's praying with thanksgiving. God, I know even if the answer isn't the way I think it should be, I know you're working all things together for my good. So I thank you, God. You hear me. I lift all this up to you. I give it to you. I commit it to you. It's yours. Present your request to God. And look what happens in verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. So maybe the circumstances haven't changed, but something on the inside has, right? Because you can get all that working on the outside and you still can be a mess on the inside. But when you give it to God, look, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. It'll, in Christ Jesus, it'll keep you from going down the wrong path. It'll keep you from drifting away from God. It'll keep you close in close relationship with him. And then number 4, what is our step in getting back in relationship with God? And that's surrender my life to God. Surrender my life to God. That's really what salvation is. It's surrender. It's giving God the control of your life. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Oh, that's great. I can get whatever I want, whatever I desire. God's going to give it to me, right? Well, let's look at the next verse. Next verse says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Well, great. I'll just tell him which way I want to go, and he'll bring it to pass. Now, that's really not what that's saying. It's saying commit your way to the Lord. In other words, it's no longer your way. It's his way. You committed it to the Lord. You committed your life to the Lord. Because your way wouldn't turn out right anyway. Our way, come on. Have we not tried it enough ourselves and it doesn't work, right? Can I get a witness? But when we commit our way to the Lord, we delight ourselves in the Lord. So, Lord, our life is hid in you, God. We give you our life. We give you the control of our life. And guess what? Then we trust in him and his way and his course for our life. He'll bring that to pass. In other words, he's going to bring the best plan for your life. He's going to bring that into place. He's going to work it all out. as we trust in Him, as we surrender our life to the Lord. Amen? Come on, everybody. A good amen right there. A good amen. 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 Bow your heads with me this morning. God, thank you for this opportunity we have just to set aside 21 days of just going all in, going after you, God. I pray, God, that we would just reorder our life, reflect that you're number one, you're first in every area of our life, God. Thank you, Lord, that nothing catches you by surprise and nothing just happens. You have a plan in every detail. You have a purpose for everything. All things work together for good. All things. So, Lord, we trust you. We trust you, God. Be the Lord, God, of every area of our life, God. Be the Lord of all. In Jesus' name. My heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. Some of you may need to do some of those things on that list. One may be to put God first in my life. It may be that you just need to do that point number four, and that's surrender my life to God and give Him the control of my life. I want to invite you right now. I want to invite you to do that. I want to lead you in a prayer. And if you're watching online or if you're here in this building, I want to give you an opportunity. If you feel like there's some area in your life that you need to surrender the control of your life, maybe you're a Christian, but there's just something that you haven't quite surrendered to God completely. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. It may be that you're coming to God for the first time or coming back to the Lord, or just you just need to make sure it all belongs to Him. I want to lead you in a prayer. But if that's you and you say, Pastor, that's me this morning, I need to pray that prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you to come to the front, but if that's you, would you just slip up a hand? Let's like know who I'm praying with. Yes. Yes. Good job. Good job. Good job. Yes. Great. Hands all over the building. If you're watching online, would you join with us? Can I just lead you in a simple prayer? All it has to be is heartfelt. It's not a magical prayer. It's not just about repeating a magical prayer. It's actually you just praying prayer of faith from your heart, but I'm just helping you with the words, okay? Can you pray something like this from your heart? And I invite all of us just to pray this out loud just for support. Come on. Just pray something like this. God, today I surrender my life to you. I thank you that you have the best plan for my life. In fact, your way is the only way of life. God, I want life. I want the fullness of life that you promised me. I want to experience that. So Lord, today I give you the control of my life and I invite you to come in. Live inside of me. Make me brand new. Forgive me for going my way. Today I turn from my way to follow you. Thank you for making it possible for me to have a new beginning today. I commit my life to you. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, Lord of every area of my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. God, thank you for every person who needed to pray that prayer today, who prayed it, and prayed that prayer of faith, God. And now, oh God, I thank you that you're smiling. Your arms are open and you're welcoming and you're loving us and you're guiding us and you're directing us and you're breathing new life into us, God. Thank you for the peace that comes from a right relationship with you, God. Lord, I thank you for those that are just going all in as we every day, God, just seek you. Just set an hour aside of our day, God, in some part of our day, just to set that aside and say, I want to go after you, God. I want to spend time in your presence, God. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity this week, for these next 3 weeks. God, I pray that you guide and direct our lives. God, as we draw closer to you, thank you that you draw closer to us. Oh, thank you for everything that means. God, we don't even fully understand what that means, but we thank you. Oh, God, that everything you have for us. Oh, God, ear has not heard, eye has not seen the things you prepare for those that love you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. We just worship you today. In give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.